Hello, my name's Dave Emery. This is side two of For the Record program number 436, titled Triumph of the Shill, Part 3, The Kaiser of California, being recorded on December 1st of 2003. Remember Spitfire, spitfirelist.com, P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, 95005. Stocks all of the various programs and lectures I've done over the years. I do not get money from that arrangement. Visit their website at spitfirelist.com. WFMU.org/Dave Emery has the various For the Record programs, more recent programs, streaming on Real Audio. The rest are available for download only at a longer URL, also on Real Audio, linked to both the For the Record section of the Spitfire website at spitfirelist.com and to the WFMU.org/Dave Emery streaming website. Turning once again to Triumph of the Shill Part 3, The Kaiser of California, reviewing briefly from They Thought They Were Free. This is how Hitler governed, according to a German university professor who was opposed to Hitler but lived through his rise. What happened here was the gradual habituation of the people little by little to being governed by surprise, to receiving decisions deliberated in secret, to believing that the situation was so complicated that the government had to act on information which the people could not understand, or so dangerous that even if the people could understand it, it could not be released because of national security. And their sense of identification with Hitler, their trust in him, made it easier to widen this gap and reassured those who would otherwise have worried about it. This separation of government from people, this widening of the gap took place so gradually and so insensibly, each step disguised, perhaps not even intentionally, as a temporary emergency measure or associated with true patriotic allegiance or with real social purposes, and all the crises and reforms so occupied the people that they did not see the slow motion underneath of the whole process of government growing remoter and remoter. And when one combines that with the use, the very cynical use of the opinion-forming media by action hero turned politician and Kaiser of California, perhaps Führer of California, as it remains to be seen, Arnold Schwarzenegger, well, that's the template I believe we're looking at here. Far from being the populist everyman and the independent that Schwarzenegger presents himself as being, there is every indication, as Schwarzenegger has assumed the reins of government, that his will be a very autocratic regime indeed. San Francisco Chronicle of Wednesday, November 19th of 2003 was the only one of the newspapers I take to even report this story, and this was right up front on page A23. And I've heard very little discussion of this. This is by Mark Martin of the Chronicle Sacramento Bureau, Dateline Sacramento. Governor puts rules on hold, raises fears. Again, governing by surprise and temporary emergency measures. Note the governance by surprise and the temporary emergency measures that Arnold Schwarzenegger has been putting into effect. An executive order signed by Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger could delay the implementation of dozens of environmental and consumer protection measures and give Schwarzenegger's political appointees unprecedented powers to rewrite regulations. On his first day in office, Schwarzenegger ordered a 6-month halt to the creation of new rules affecting hundreds of issues so he can review how they will affect California's business climate. The order could affect everything from the state's efforts to develop an unprecedented computer recycling program to a new law requiring hospitals to have a minimum level of nurses on duty. Business advocates praise the move as a signal that Schwarzenegger is committed to building jobs in the state by streamlining burdensome regulations. Some lawmakers dismiss the order as simply a way for the new administration to catch up on upcoming issues. But others charge that the new governor is already doling out favors to business contributors and trying to overturn legitimate laws passed by the legislature and signed by former Governor Gray Davis. They also argue that Schwarzenegger, who campaigned on an open government and pro-environment platform, is reneging on promises made before the recall election. Quote, This is a page right out of George Bush's playbook, said Assemblyman Mark Leno, Democrat of San Francisco. Schwarzenegger's order will affect hundreds of regulations that state agencies are writing to enact legislation or new standards. Most of the regulations are details stemming from recently enacted legislation. For example, the California Integrated Waste Management Board will implement a landmark law carried by Senator Byron Scheer, Democrat of Palo Alto, and signed this year by Davis, that will make California the first state in the country to mandate the recycling of computers and televisions. The board was expected to create the definition that will determine which pieces of equipment will be affected by the law. Instead, according to the order, the board will be required to submit a report to Schwarzenegger's legal affairs secretary describing how the new law will affect California business. The board could ask Schwarzenegger's director of finance to bypass the report, however. Recycling advocates argue that the executive order could delay the law, which is to go into effect next July. They also note that the order could take the rulemaking process out of the hands of a board that meets publicly, instead allowing agencies to create internal reports for Schwarzenegger's top officials. Again, as they thought they were free said, deliberations or decisions deliberated in secret. Continuing, it's unclear what will happen if reports suggest a particular issue is bad for business, but some advocates worry it could lead the administration to water down regulations and effectively nullify new laws. This is a governor who came into office saying he was all for open government, and one of the first moves he makes out of the box is to put important health and safety issues into the hands of political appointees, said Mark Murray, executive director of Californians Against Waste. Margarita Thompson, Schwarzenegger's press secretary, said the executive order was common sense, allowing us to get a lay of the land, unquote. Some lawmakers agreed. If you take over from another administration, there's a whole lot of stuff in the hopper. You want to know what it is, it isn't a big deal, said Senate President Pro Tem John Burton, Democrat of San Francisco. But the order freezes hundreds of rulemaking procedures, including efforts to force garbage haulers to haul cleaner diesel fuel and new water efficiency standards for washing machines that will save millions of gallons of water. Schwarzenegger critics say the new governor is actually creating more bureaucracy and may be angling for a way to help business interests that opposed successful legislation a new avenue to win battles it couldn't win earlier. Quote, this is the wish list for every special interest that lost in the legislature, said Jamie Court, president of the Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumer Rights. And again, noting the decision that Schwarzenegger announced right after being elected to neutralize the energy lawsuits. Note the following from the front page of the San Jose Mercury News of Friday, November 21st of 2003. This is an article by Mary Ann Ostrom of the Mercury, headlined, Governor Prepares to Court Donors. It reads in part, Arnold Schwarzenegger, who campaigned as an outsider free of ties to contributors, on Thursday celebrated his repeal of the car tax increase at a San Fernando car dealership owned by a major donor to his campaign. Schwarzenegger also is planning at least four fundraisers in December to help pay off debt left over from his campaign, despite his own pre-election suggestion that the legislature be banned from political fundraising when the budget is under discussion. Schwarzenegger is making major budget proposals to the legislature over the next 2 weeks. While his staff now says the ban was intended only to cover a period after the full budget is presented in early January, his fundraising and attention to donors are raising eyebrows. Skipping down, Schwarzenegger said during the campaign he would not take money from special interests, and in his inaugural address pledged, my governorship to your interests, not special interests, unquote. In his first press conference as governor Tuesday, he reiterated that his definition of special interests is limited to groups such as public employee unions and Indian tribes with gambling interests because they negotiate directly with the state. Yet his fundraising efforts have only continued in the 6 weeks since his October 7th election, reaching more than $1 million, including $535,000 to pay for his swearing-in Monday. And it then talks about a number of his Silicon Valley donors, including Tim Draper, the grandson of William Draper Jr., one of the people who helped to effect the funding of Nazi Germany, an associate of the Bushes, whose son, William Draper III, was the ex-head of the Export-Import Bank under Ronald Reagan and helped to bankroll the career of George W. Bush as well. Tim Draper was the driving force behind the school voucher initiative that failed in California in 2000. Now, still more about Arnold Schwarzenegger and the way he is presented, basically governing in the fashion described in They Thought They Were Free. We here in California, and this may very well be a precedent for when Schwarzenegger or somebody who is who's to be the Kaiser of America, we are being governed by surprise to receiving decisions deliberated in secret, to believing that the situation was so complicated that the government had to act on information which the people could not understand. And their sense of identification with, parenthetically, Schwarzenegger, their trust in him made it easier to widen this gap and reassured those who would otherwise have worried about it. Note Arnold Schwarzenegger in that context. San Francisco Chronicle, Thursday, November 20th of 2003. Article by Linda Gledhill and Greg Lucas. Now, as noted in For the Record 429, no sooner had Schwarzenegger been elected than he called in the budget director for the state of Florida under Jeb Bush and appointed her, Donna Arduin, to be the budget director for the state of California, or to conduct an independent audit of the already extensively audited and public California budgetary situation. That has resulted in the following. This by Linda Gledhill and Greg Lucas. Governor's fiscal plan hits speed bump. Democrat lawmakers decry lack of details. Stateline Sacramento reads in part, attempts to move Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger's fiscal plans quickly through the legislature bogged down Wednesday as frustrated Democrats complained that the administration hadn't given them enough specifics to advance his budget agenda. Schwarzenegger's budget chief, Donna Arduin, parenthetically, from the state of Florida under Jeb Bush, told members of the Assembly Budget Committee that the legislature should put a ballot measure before voters to approve a state spending limit and a bond of up to $15 billion to restructure existing debt. Quote, with the amount of borrowing that has occurred to date, the state is running out of places to go, Arduin said. It cannot continue. But the Schwarzenegger administration has yet to propose a budget bill that lawmakers can hold hearings on, even though the deadline for putting measures on the March 2004 ballot is December 5th. Note these blitzkrieg tactics that Schwarzenegger is pursuing. Even the recall election itself and Schwarzenegger's handling of it, it was very much a blitzkrieg. Schwarzenegger announced in early August. Most people didn't even get back to their normal routines by the beginning of September, with only a month till the election. Only 50% of the eligible voters, by the way, voted in the election. Schwarzenegger got 49% of those 50%. Turning back once again to this article, the administration is trying to work with lawmakers from both parties to reach consensus to help move the process quickly, said Finance Spokesman H.D. Palmer. Skipping down, while Republican lawmakers were eager to suspend legislative rules to schedule speedy votes on Schwarzenegger's proposals, the Democrats who control the legislature said they would hold committee hearings before scheduling final votes. Quote, they are so involved in how things look, beginning again, quote, they are so involved in how things look that they want to look like they are moving quickly, so they call us into special session, said Assemblywoman Jackie Goldberg, Democrat of Los Angeles, who sits on the Budget Committee. Quote, you cannot call a special session until you have something to present to us. We may not accept it, but at least you have to have it presented, unquote. In an inauspicious start with lawmakers, Arduin startled Budget Committee members by leaving the hearing in the middle of the first questions put to her, skipping down. Arduin, who had been waiting more than an hour to testify, said she was late for a meeting with the governor. Before leaving, Arduin briefly restated her audit findings but provided few new details about the governor's budget plan. She also offered no suggestion on how cities and counties would be compensated for the loss of nearly $3.6 billion this year now that the car tax increase has been repealed. Goldberg, who was in the middle of questioning Arduin when she left, said she was shocked by the presentation. Quote, "There's been a lot of fanfare about her experience, but she had no proposals, she had no answers, she didn't even have an audit report," Goldberg said. "What she had is that there's a problem. Well, we knew that already," unquote. Other lawmakers said they were willing to give Arduin the benefit of the doubt since she is new to California. Arduin was Florida's budget director before Schwarzenegger asked her to conduct an audit of California's budget. Some lawmakers criticized the audit, saying it offered little in the way of new information. "I don't think we should think there has been some intricate, complex audit done here," said Assemblyman John Dutra, Democrat of Fremont. "The presentation has a political tone that I don't think is appropriate or beneficial to this committee." Again, note that Donna Arduin basically walked out in the middle of questioning by the member of the budget committee. More about Schwarzenegger's governing style. This from the San Francisco Chronicle of Wednesday, November 26th of 2003. This article also by Linda Gledhill and Mark Martin, Dateline Sacramento. Governor's spending cap called power grab. Subtitle: Democratic lawmakers balk at rushing action on budget plan, reads in part, Democratic legislators accusing Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger of attempting a power grab, unquote, balked at the governor's budget plan Tuesday and questioned whether they could meet his deadline of next week for taking action to ease the state's fiscal mess. In Schwarzenegger's first big clash with the Democratic-controlled legislature, several lawmakers objected to Schwarzenegger's proposal for spending limits that would give the governor unprecedented budget-writing authority. This in addition to suspending legislation that had already been passed and turning the authority over to his advisors and giving them unprecedented authority. Continuing, but the governor's aides warned that Schwarzenegger would take the fight into lawmakers' districts if they didn't act on his plans. Schwarzenegger wants voters to approve the spending cap along with a $15 billion bond measure to help close the state's mounting deficit. But he needs the legislature to approve the plan by December 5th in order to get the measure on the March ballot. I would add that's 4 days from now as I'm recording this on December 1st. Continuing, no one is under any illusions about how difficult this task will be in such a short time frame, Schwarzenegger's budget chief Donna Arduin told lawmakers. But the alternative, failing to take action, is not an option that would only serve to put the state's fiscal future at an even greater level of risk. Democrats also found little to like in the few details they did learn about the administration's plan to cut $2 billion in spending. But beyond the oft-stinging criticism, legislators are under no immediate pressure to vote on Schwarzenegger's admittedly painful budget cuts. Continuing, Democrats said they were puzzled over how Schwarzenegger's plan to limit the state's spending every year would work, and they expressed amazement at the new control he would have over the budget. Under the plan, the governor could make mid-year spending cuts in time of fiscal emergencies. They would become law unless two-thirds of the legislature voted to override them within 30 days. Quote, "I think he wants to be czar instead of governor," said Assemblywoman Jackie Goldberg, Democrat of Los Angeles. "The hidden agenda is a power grab," unquote. Senator Jack Scott, Democrat of Altadena, agreed that granting that much authority to the governor would turn California's system upside down. "We're going toward an autocracy here instead of a democracy," he said, and skipping down. But how a permanent cap on state spending would interrelate with other demands on the state, especially from education, remained unclear. "They can barely explain it. We can barely understand them. It's not good," said Assemblyman Joe Conchamilla, Democrat of Pittsburgh. And skipping down again, State Senator Sheila Kuhl, Democrat of Santa Monica, also warned that a cap would run into problems with entitlement programs. For example, she said unemployment benefits are guaranteed for people who qualify for them. In high unemployment years, the governor would be forced to cut from non-entitlement programs such as mental health, she said. The legislature's budget analyst agreed, and it goes on to talk about the many entitlements that will be slashed under Schwarzenegger. And another article also by Mark Martin and Linda Gledhill from the Chronicle of Wednesday, November 26, Dems rail at governor's proposed trims. Many Democrats, however, still believe tax hikes would be preferable to slashing state spending. Schwarzenegger's cuts include everything from further lowering money to universities to reducing payments to families on welfare by 5%. The proposals will be a main topic at budget hearings next week, but Democrats began Tuesday to pick apart the reductions. Quote, "These are not bipartisan, move to the center, get everybody all together kinds of cuts," said Assemblywoman Jackie Goldberg, Democrat of Los Angeles. "These are the kinds of cuts that come from a very right-wing agenda," unquote. Particular ire was focused on several health care proposals. Schwarzenegger wants lawmakers to okay a halt to enrolling children in the Healthy Families Insurance Program beginning January 1st. Children's advocates blasted that idea, noting that 1 in 7 children in California were already uninsured. The state of Florida, where Arduin last worked, froze enrollment in a similar insurance program in July and now has a waiting list of 42,000 kids, according to the advocacy group Children Now. Schwarzenegger also suggests cutting by 10% the fees doctors receive for treating patients covered by Medi-Cal, the state's insurance program for the poor. The California Medical Association has already sued the state over a 5% cut enacted by the legislature and former Governor Gray Davis. Advocates say further cuts will cause a chain reaction that could destroy the public health system. Fewer private doctors will treat Medi-Cal patients, forcing those patients to crowded and underfunded public health clinics or emergency rooms. "We'll be watching the public safety net break apart," said Dr. Kevin Grumbach, Chief of Family and Community Medicine at San Francisco General Hospital. Other cuts include eliminating food stamps for families just getting off welfare and ending state funding that pays for all kinds of recreational activities for the developmentally disabled. And I would note that, again, for the people that have not lived in California or didn't follow the campaign that closely, these are exactly the sorts of things Schwarzenegger said he would not do. And I noted that there was no way Schwarzenegger was going to be able to do what he said he wouldn't do without raising taxes. And please note the decisions deliberated in secret. Even the legislature is being kept in the dark about much of this. Note also the revealing, perhaps psycholinguistically appropriate, headline from the San Jose Mercury News of November 29th. That is a Saturday. That, again, November 29th, of course, of 2003. Note again that Arnold Schwarzenegger is using the opinion-forming media and his own extraordinary situation as the movie action superhero and the media figure, also to a certain extent utilizing his wife's own popularity as an NBC News news person. Note the use of the opinion-forming media here. San Jose Mercury, Saturday, November 29th of 2003, article by Mary Ann Ostrom, headlined, "Budget Blitz About to Start." And indeed, everything about Schwarzenegger's gubernatorial regime so far has been a blitzkrieg, a lightning war, and it has been deliberated in secret. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger is planning a campaign-style offensive next week, complete with rallies, stump speeches, and recorded telephone calls to homes to urge Californians to get behind his budget solution. There's a lot at stake in the coming week. The Republican governor's plan for a massive bond and a spending cap must win approval by Friday to be placed on the March ballot, or the state could face a cash crunch next year. And note again Schwarzenegger's access to the opinion-forming media. Skipping down in this article, by returning to the campaign trail, the new governor shows he is leaving nothing to chance. The reaction to his populist style of governing could prove an early test of what the new governor's team likes to call the Schwarzenegger mandate, unquote. "His bully pulpit is larger than most," said Schwarzenegger communications chief Rob Stutzman. "You have a governor who can go out and do public events, gain voter and media attention like we haven't seen in a long time," unquote. Yes, indeed, not since the mid-1930s in Germany. Skipping down. Many Democrats, and even a few Republicans, say that while Schwarzenegger is undertaking measures of unprecedented size and scope, he has produced only sketchy details from which to judge them. "There's no question he's forcing us into a corner," said incoming Assembly Speaker Fabien Nunez, Democrat of Los Angeles, who cast doubt on the legislature's ability to meet the deadline. Quote, "He wants us to deal on a crisis mode, but we've got to be careful not to rush just so he can say, I've done X and Y in my first 100 days, unquote. Again, note the similarity to the passage from They Thought They Were Free that I quoted earlier. And please go to the Spitfire website. Those of you who aren't online, go to a library and look at the picture of Arnold Schwarzenegger, again from page 84 of Sports Illustrated magazine of December 7th, 1987, appropriately enough, Pearl Harbor Day. And note the genre of mountain films and Lewis Tranker, the lover, co-star, and colleague, contemporary of Leni Riefenstahl. Returning once again to Hollywood.com that we looked at before, talking about mountain films. And yet, to quote film historian William K. Everson, the mountain film was to Germany what the Western was to America, and Trenker, as its leading practitioner, was in a sense Germany's John Wayne and John Ford rolled into one. And talking about The Rebel, as with many mountain films, it was nationalistic. The story celebrated German history and traditions, and Trenker, at one point leading his pursuers on a thrillingly edited chase that could never have taken place in uninterrupted time, was an idealized, proudly German superhero type. It is thus not surprising that Trenker's films, and indeed many mountain films, would be not only popular with the German people, but also appropriated by the rising Nazi Party. And again, I would note in that context the film The Kaiser of California. And one wonders whether perhaps this was the model for the psychological and cognitive template for Arnold Schwarzenegger's gubernatorial regime. Is the persona of Lewis Trenker, the exponent of the mountain film, the template upon which the Schwarzenegger public persona was made? I suspect that may very well have been the case. Trenker was the action hero, the primary exponent of the mountain film, and now we here in California are getting treated to what is sort of the ultimate mountain film. And Arnold Schwarzenegger is rapidly becoming the Kaiser of California, the title of his 1936 bio of John Sutter. And we're going to close here with a passage from Alistair Cook's Letter from America, the longest-running BBC program that began in 1946. This from his October 13th broadcast, "The Election of Arnold Schwarzenegger is Not a Joke," of the Schwarzenegger election. "Some thoughtful, if pessimistic, people see in the Schwarzenegger triumph a darker vision. He has admitted to his early admiration of Hitler, especially of Hitler's power to rouse a despairing, poverty-stricken people and lead them on to visionary heights. The thing he most admired about Hitler was the Führerprinzip, the strong leader principle. Schwarzenegger wants to be that strong leader. So we must wait and see whether in the course of his governorship we shall see democracy invigorated or the emergence of the first American Führer, or the Kaiser or Führer of California." That concludes For the Record program number 436, Triumph of the Shill Part 3, The Kaiser of California, being recorded on December 1st of 2003. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.